I'll try one more time. What do you know?
Not much. You
shout it. You're shouting. Graham doesn't like it when you shout. I tripped over something. Okay, we're fine. We're good now. You cool?
Yeah, I'm good.
Want to change scarves or anything?
Nope, good. I'm good. All set to go.
I like that one, though. I like you in any kind of scarf.
Oh, that's
kind. How many scarves do you actually own?
Of this type or in general?
Scarves.
Probably
class
about
scarves.
12.
No kidding.
Yeah.
One for every day of the week. That's amazing.
plus or minus.
Okay. And for evenings.
That's
practically.
Right.
Well, it's too bad about that Supreme Court decision. I was hoping to patent my jeans for Father's Day. Well, what do you know?
Not much, you.
Live from Fairbanks, Alaska to Columbus, Ohio, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, cooked author Michael Pollan, All the News It Isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who has the 3D glasses, but not the TV, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah, okay, sure, I did. It's true, I got about 24 pairs of 3D glasses from Hong Kong. Edward Snowden sent them out while he was there. And because I thought if you look at your TV with 3D glasses, you get 3D TV. So I'm behind the times. All right, patenting jeans, not going to do it. The good news is that not a single Supreme Court justice will be able to patent his or her jeans. So that's the upshot of that. In other news, leaker Edward Snowden appears on the Chinese 10,000 yuan note. That was a quick turnaround. Replacing Chairman Mao on the note is pretty good. The NSA is rethinking its strategy of hiring security contractors from guys standing around the Home Depot. Turkey illustrates why fewer and fewer countries are now building squares. You build a square, and you're asking for trouble, I think, in any country, anywhere. Challenged by their stop and frisk policy, New York City police will now frisk on the go. So that's good, not good, okay. The guy eating ice cream out of the machine and the guy licking the tacos are not the same guy. The good news is he will not be patenting his gene. If they were the same guy. Wisconsin Assembly passes a bill which allows you to stick donations right in your representative's G-string after performing an ultrasound. The immigration bill is hung up on migratory birds. Penny's Hitler tea kettle redesign looks strangely like Stalin. They just can't get it right at Penny's, can they? JCP. The Hitler whistling kettle. It's sold out. So it goes to show you. So maybe they were right. The Census Bureau says Asians are the new Hispanics. They said it. I didn't say it. Tomato sauce is good for the prostate, but hard to slather on. Can be done. I'm telling you, it can be done, but it's hard. I'm saying. A chemical in the food packaging is what makes you fat. So you may as well throw away the contents, just, you know, go with the packaging. A study finds a hands-free head banging is still a hazard when driving. Even hands-free. Okay, never mind. The U.S. tells leaker Edward Snowden, you may be a Publisher's Clearinghouse winner, but you must accept the giant plywood check in person. More Americans consider themselves multiracial, even when they're not. That's got to be a good sign. The Putin's divorce. Ludmilla gets everything east of Vladivostok, which turns out to be the Sea of Japan. So big opportunities for divorce law in Russia if you're looking for a place to practice. And Rupert and Wendy Murdoch divorce because, frankly, she's not getting any younger. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. And stay tuned for more frivolity and lightheartedness. On this very station. Michael Pollan's got a new one out. Boy, I get tired of saying that. This guy puts out a lot of books. No, I don't get tired of saying that. I'm glad I'm saying. That's what I meant to say. I didn't get tired of saying. Michael Pollan, author of The Omnivore's Dilemma, says here, Cooked, A Natural History of Transformation. Now, he's done every angle of food from the origins. Did you know a lot of food starts in animals? I had no idea until I read Michael Pollan. It starts with animals and things and plants, surprisingly, our food. And he's gone all the way through, and the thing he hasn't done is actually the cooking part of it. Now he has. He's online with us from Berkeley. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are things in Berkeley there?
Good to be back.
The Republic of Berkeley, things going
yes,
well?
Yes, I am. The People's Republic of Berkeley.
Yeah. Things fine there?
Things are good, yeah.
Yeah.
Things are very good. It's good to be home from book tour. I've been on the road for about 6 weeks.
Really? You left Berkeley?
I left Berkeley, yeah.
What was that like?
It was good. It's always good to get back in touch with America.
Yeah, where'd you go? Boulder?
I was in Wisconsin. I was in Milwaukee.
Oh, we missed you here. We should have got
you
up here.
Yeah, I didn't make it to Madison, however.
Yeah. So cooking now. Cooking is the last frontier, right?
I think so. I think it's the last link in this food chain. You know, I started with Omnivore's Dilemma, looking at how the food is produced and what comes off the farms. And then I looked at health and what happens in our bodies when we eat it. And the middle link, where it gets transformed.
Yeah.
Either, you know, by food processing, which is what we call it when corporations do it, or cooking, what we call it when human beings do it.
Yeah. But corporations are people, so then what do you call it?
I'm not willing to concede that, even though the Supreme Court has.
Yeah. So what's left for you?
They don't die. I mean, all sorts of things about them are not like corporations.
Yeah.
And they don't eat.
Okay. So can we expect defecation, the next Michael Pollan book?
No,
getting rid of food.
Well, I actually get pretty close to that, since a section of the book on fermentation, I explore the human microbiome, which is the fermentation in your large intestine. So that's as close as I'm going to get.
And actually, you went on from that, because the New York Times thing, Secret Lives of Germs, I have here as well. So do you want to talk food or germs?
I'm happy to talk either one. They're closely related. One of the interesting things I learned about the food system is that, well, first of all, I don't know if you realize this, you're only 10% human.
I'm surprised, yeah.
Well, and you might be even less, I'm not sure, but 90% of you are microbes that you carry around, most of which are in your gut. And the way we're cooking today or processing food is not feeding them very well.
And, so we need to replenish our microbes?
We do. We need to feed them. They like fermented food. They like plants. They like fiber. And they don't like antibiotics, as you'd imagine.
Right, because they're opposed to them.
Right, because they are biotics.
Yeah. So now, I got that. I got the reference. I'm cool. So basically you're talking about the four humors here, air, water, fire, and phlegm.
No, I didn't do phlegm.
Yeah. Or the biles. You didn't do the biles.
No, I didn't. It's the four elements.
Four elements.
Each of which corresponds to one of the big transformations of nature into culture that we call cooking. So fire is barbecue. I went to North Carolina to study how to barbecue whole hogs over wood fires very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Water is cooking in pots, which is everyday domestic home cooking.
Right.
Soups, braises and stews. Mm-hmm. Air is baking. Which is, a good loaf of bread is 80% air.
Yeah.
And then earth is fermentation, where I looked at pickling and cheese making and alcohol, which is kind of the most miraculous cooking of all, because you don't use any heat at all. It's all done with microbes.
Yeah, yeah. And you're doing this with your son, right, who's, what, 12 or 13 years old now? You're brewing...
No, we didn't start brewing till he was 16.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was about, when you should start.
Yeah.
It's a very good way to engage with a teenager. They're interesting. They're fascinated by beer. I don't understand why.
It is. It is probably the best way. But you did it. You were brewing when you were 10 years old or something. Weren't you trying to make wine when you were 10?
I did. I had an unsuccessful attempt where I stomped some grapes and put them in a closed container and didn't really understand the carbon dioxide part of fermentation. And and I left it in the living room at my parents' house. And this container, which was a plastic thing and full of you know, red grapes exploded, and the entire white ceiling acquired this layer of dark purple confetti bits of grape.
Yeah, that's nice. So they're doing that on purpose.
It was a low point.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of decorators are doing that on purpose. So you were ahead of your time.
But, I guess.
But, I mean, you, and then you had a pig in Manhattan. I mean, you had a very strange childhood, right? Didn't you?
Well, that was my father, you know, got it into his head that I really liked pigs. And I did a little. I liked, you know, Emmett the Pig and Charlotte's Web. And you know what happens? People start giving you pig figurines and pig posters. And before long, people really think you love pigs, which I was, you know, they were okay. And so he gave me a pet pig that we named Kosher.
Yeah, and naturally.
And Kosher, you know, we were living on 89th Street in Manhattan. It was not an appropriate gift. But Kosher started out, you know, the size. I mean, he fit in a shoebox. He was a little football.
A little cute thing, yeah.
The problem is he grew.
Yeah.
And grew.
They do, don't
grew.
They?
They do.
Yeah.
And they eat like pigs. I mean, just
yeah.
Remarkable amount of food.
Yeah.
And, but for most of his short life, I was living in a one-room cottage on the beach in New England, and he lived underneath in a pen that I made, and the house was built on stilts, and he lived underneath, and when he would get hungry in the middle of the night, he would start butting the post that held up the house, which kind of shook the house.
God, I thought my puggle was bad. That's even worse than the cheetah.
And I'd have to, you know, if I ran out of Purina Pig Chow, I'd have to empty the entire contents of the refrigerator into his bowl at 2 in the morning. And he would eat it all, even the, you know, the cold cuts.
Kosher. So cute. Kosher is the one who stole the steak from your neighbor? Is that?
Yeah, well, one day Kosher got out. And I was telling the story in the section on barbecue and just how appealing the aroma of meat cooking over a fire is to many different species. And one day a neighbor was cooking a steak, and Kosher got out of his pen, her pen, went up the beach. All these houses were very close to one another, lined up on the beach, and clattered up the guy's deck, working, you know, with the efficiency and speed of a Navy SEAL, toppled his barbecue. This man, this poor guy, was having a gin and tonic, you know, watching the sunset while he grilled a steak, knocked over the barbecue, and stole the man's steak.
Yeah. Legendary now in New England.
Well, I think it's worthy of myth if you're a pig. I mean, this is the pig's revenge on barbecue.
Yeah. Now, have you gotten into trouble again? All your books seem to get you in trouble for not a good reason I can ever see, but for this whole cooking thing, I saw something in Mother Jones or something that you're trying to send women back to the kitchen. Is that what you're doing?
You know, well, no. I'm trying to send everybody into the kitchen.
Everybody.
You know, women, men, and kids, because
yeah.
It's so important. I mean, the best predictor of a healthy diet is that it be cooked by a human. And, you know, fast food, in a sense, liberated women when they entered the workforce. Mm-hmm. It also let men off the hook. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as a man starts talking about cooking, people assume you want to send, you know, you want to turn back the clock. And that's not what I'm talking about at all.
No.
I think cooking has so much to offer men and especially children that we need to all rethink that. The industry did a very good job of convincing us all that they should do the cooking. We were engaged in a very tense conversation, men and women in America, after the feminist revolution, because we needed to renegotiate the division of labor in the house. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fair for women to be not only, you know, working now, but mm-hmm. cooking and cleaning and doing all the child care. Yeah. And that was not an easy conversation. And before we could finish it.
Oh, it sure wasn't, Diane. I remember it.
Before we could finish it, fast food companies came in and said, stop arguing. And Kentucky Fried Chicken took out billboards across America in the 70s with a big bucket of fried chicken and a two-word slogan, women's liberation.
They did.
And, you know, that was very clever marketing. But it turned out to be a disaster for our health to outsource our cooking to corporations. That is why we're struggling with obesity and diabetes.
Yeah. If we had better corporations, wouldn't that solve the problem?
Well, we can wait for that, but I think we're better off taking back control of our diet. I mean,
yeah.
Basically, our diet is too important to put it in their hands. They really don't cook well. They use way too much salt, fat, and sugar. They use the cheapest possible raw ingredients. And then they use food additives to make the food look as though it's not as old or cooked as far away as it is.
Yeah. I like, what was it, Kentucky Fried now has his grilled chicken. And I know there's a guy in back painting black stripes, parallel black stripes on each piece of chicken. I mean, that's got to be it.
It's a job.
You know, actually, just last night, my daughter, who's now only 22 years old, opened up the Settlement cookbook for the first time. I showed her, honey, you know, she said she wanted macaroni. I said, honey, this is an opportunity for me to pass something on to you from the Settlement cookbook, which is a Milwaukee cookbook from years ago. Your basic white sauce. I said, if you master the basic white sauce, you can do it light, medium, or heavy, by the way, depending on how you're feeling about it. You can make any sauce based on that. It is the mother of all sauces, or the father of all sauces. And so she made macaroni based on it, put a little cheese in the white sauce, and it was a magic moment for me. So it's like you and beer in your kit.
Well,
for
you know,
me, it's white sauce and my daughter.
I like that. I mean, that should be in the curriculum. You know, everybody should learn how to make 10 things in school before they graduate. You know, how to roast a chicken and how to scramble an egg and how to make a white sauce.
Yeah.
These are really important life skills that we're not teaching our kids.
No. Now, of course, and when you talk about barbecue, though, it's very controversial, isn't it? Because a lot of people would not consider North Carolina barbecue to be barbecue.
No, barbecue is balkanized. I have a map over my desk of the different barbecue, you know, regions, republics, and each one thinks that they've got the answer. Like if you're west of Lexington, North Carolina, barbecue is pork shoulders and a sauce that has tomato in it. If you're east of that line, it's a whole hog and no sauce. And then if you're south of North Carolina, it's got mustard in the sauce. And each tribe basically thinks it has the sole claim on barbecue, and everything else is an abomination.
Yeah.
And then you go to Texas, and there's not even any pork involved. It's all beef. Yeah. And that's an outrage to people in North Carolina.
That's shocking.
So I basically,
and
you
Memphis
know,
too. You go to Memphis, which is
and you get ribs.
You
and
get
that too is not ribs. Barbecue if you're in North Carolina.
But you also get a dry rib as opposed to sauce. I mean, that's another, you know.
That's right. They use a dry rub, and it is. I haven't actually had that kind of barbecue.
Oh,
I mean, frankly, it's all great.
Yeah.
But my favorite was the whole hog barbecue because. When you do a whole hog, first there's something very ceremonial about it.
Yes.
I mean, people come from miles around from the smell and wanting a piece of it. But also then you're cutting all the different parts of the animal together. So you've got the fatty, moist parts like the belly mixed with the loin. And then the best of all is you crisp the skin, the crackling. And you cut that in too. And so you get these little bacony shards in the middle of your sandwich.
Love that.
Which is really delicious.
Yeah. I love it when they're not really shards, you know, when they are actually bacon.
Cracklin makes bacon look like fake and bacon. I mean, it's so far superior. It's really a life-changing experience.
Oh. And now, and speaking of baking, in case you were, this is like a big part of it. Do you grind your own flour? Have you gone whole hog on that?
No, not quite. I worked with some bakers that did. I apprenticed myself to to Chad Robertson, who might be the best baker in the country right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he bakes out here in San Francisco and makes a bread that when you open it up and smell it, it's so moist. It's almost custardy inside. You just want to smush your face in it. It's so good.
Wow. That could be too good then, really.
And so I studied with him, and I learned how to make my own starter. And not a simple process; it takes a while. But I found it enormously therapeutic working with dough. And as someone who writes, I work at home, so it's pretty easy to bake while I'm writing. And you have this wonderful distraction every 45 minutes when you get up to turn your dough.
I was surprised
how much I enjoyed baking, and I continue to do it. Although after my book tour, my starter has a blue film on the top that's alarming.
When you say starter, what do you mean? Is there a starter in bread? I had no idea.
You can bake bread with yeast, instant yeast, but it's far superior if you use a sourdough starter, which is basically a colony of bacteria and fungi.
There you go again.
That you, yeah. it's those yeah. microbes again
yeah.
that you keep alive, and you feed it every day like a pet. You give it new flour, new water, and it bubbles, and it has the power to leaven the bread and also make it much more tasty. The problem is when you go away, I mean, actually, Chad Robertson used to take his starter to the movie so he could feed it on time, which I think is going a little far. And in San Francisco, we now have a sourdough hotel where you can take your yeah, I'm not kidding, a hotel where they will take care of your starter like your pet while you're away. Well, sourdough is very important in San Francisco.
Apparently. Wow, that's unbelievable. And so this starter is sort of like the rennet in cheese, then?
In a way, yeah. It's the active agent. Although rennet's not alive, this is alive.
Oh.
And it does amazing things to a loaf of bread. And, in fact, makes it a lot more nutritious. And, you know, people who struggle with gluten problems often don't have a problem with naturally fermented bread because the starter breaks down the gluten and makes it much more digestible. I mean, I wouldn't, if you have celiac, I wouldn't encourage you to rush out and try it. But I've talked to many people who can't tolerate bread normally and can tolerate a long fermented sourdough.
Yeah. And cheese, now there's a section on cheese. Is cheese air, water, or fire?
Earth. It goes under the microbes. I mean, cheese is fermented milk, basically.
Right.
It's fermented by both lactobacteria and fungi on the rind, and it's kind of a miraculous food when you think about it. It'll happen spontaneously, but it's something that needs to be guided to be really good. And I work with a nun in Connecticut named Sister Noella. Hmm. Who's also a microbiologist, and she makes a beautiful cheese.
Isn't that a conflict of interest to be a nun and a microbiologist?
Well, you would think, but not in her view. No. And she actually thinks we should add cheese to the Eucharist, to communion, and that it really belongs right up there with bread and wine, both of which are fermented as well, by the way.
Hopefully the Vatican won't hear about that one. You know?
Well, I know. It's heretical.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful idea. She feels that cheese forces us to contemplate our mortality.
Yeah.
And it's more flesh-like
How
than
so?
Bread.
Because we are the cheese? Or?
Some of the bacteria that give a stinky cheese its stink are more or less the same ones that, you know, are in your armpits and between your toes, which is really weird.
That's reassuring as far as cheese
well,
consumption.
You know, the French call a stinky cheese pied de deux, the feet of God. And that sounds really exalted, but they're talking about foot odor.
I got that. Did you think we didn't get that? I do love the quote from one cheesemaker who said, the mood of the milker affects the cheese. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of a nice romantic conceit until you explained that if cows are milked by a very relaxed female, they produce much better milk with more milk fat and cleaner milk than if they're milked by a guy who they might not feel as comfortable around.
Right. Well, that's true of all of us, not just the guy. but seriously.
That's a slow burn.
I know, that really is. I know what I'm saying half the time. Your beer, is it? I know the first one you put out wasn't the best, perhaps, in quality.
Yeah, my first beer had a little note of Band-Aid in the aroma.
Note of Band-Aid, which is true, isn't it? There's such a thing.
Well, there is. It's a particular chemical you get if you ferment at too high a temperature. And it was warm. It was summer. And, I thought it tasted fine. And I brought it to a brewmaster, and I had him taste it. And he said, not bad for a first time, but I'm getting a little note of Band-Aid. And as soon as he said that, I could not enjoy it again. It was Johnson & Johnson all the way.
Yeah. That note is gone now?
Well, I've made several batches since then, and I've gotten much better.
Yeah.
So my beer is definitely passable.
I had a professor one time who said that beer was actually the first... Beer preceded bread.
That's
his
right.
Theory.
Yeah, I know that theory.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reason to believe it was true. There was plenty of food as hunter-gatherers that was easier for us to obtain than going to the backbreaking work of farming. But there were very few things you could ferment. You basically had honey.
Mm-hmm.
And that was you know, defended by bees and hard to get. So that there is a theory, and there's some evidence for it, that we settled down and started growing grain because we wanted to make beer, and it was harder to get alcohol in nature than food. And there is some evidence in the when they look at the skeletons of ancient Central American Indians, that there is evidence, they can find evidence of the carbohydrates in corn in their skeletons before they find evidence of the protein in corn. And that means that they were drinking corn or fermenting corn before they were eating it.
And?
Well,
prove my point for me. That's it.
Lenny support that the reason we started to farm was so we could drink.
Yeah. But could we yet metabolize the alcohol at that point? At first, it must have been a problem, really.
It was a problem, and it is a problem for certain, you know, ethnic groups. And, you know, we developed a gene spread that gave our livers the ability to metabolize alcohol.
You're not going to name those ethnic groups, are you? Please.
I'm not. No,
good,
not on the radio.
Okay.
And, you know, there
I think
are
I'm in one of them. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but I mean, people have been drinking alcohol for a very long time, and, you know, it's given us, I mean, a lot of trouble, and it's given us a lot of blessings. And it is, you know, I mean, Saccharomyces cerevisiae, that's the fungi that gives us alcohol. I mean, I really think it's man's best friend. I think it does more for us than the dog. And I mean, look, it gives us alcohol, and it gives us bread. One little bug.
True.
We have to give it some credit.
Yeah, and civilization follows shortly thereafter.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, it's a great book, very entertaining as always, and informative, and somewhat controversial. A little bit of controversy is a good thing.
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, this is an argument we need to have as a culture about who's going to do our cooking, and I really do think that we need to take it back.
Yeah. Oh, and just one thing on this germs thing. You had your genome, whatever they call that, stereotyped?
My microbiome, yeah. I had the genes of all the bacteria that I carry around.
Your microbiome.
Yeah, and I learned who, you know, I'm a super organism. I mean,
you are.
Know, and now I know who I share this body with. And it's an interesting crew of characters and surprising in some ways. My gut looked a little more like you know, rural kids in Burkina Faso than Westerners, which is a bit of a mystery.
So that's where you hail from?
No. I hail from Long Island.
Okay.
And so we don't know why that is, but yeah. I do eat a lot of whole grains, as do they.
Well, is this one of those things, like my brother Clayton got his cheek swabbed because he wanted to find out if he's one of the Israelites, you know, and found out he wasn't, you know, it goes back to Sheboygan or something. I don't know. It doesn't go back that far. The record is spotty after Sheboygan. But is that what that is? Same? Is it the same thing? The swab?
No, you don't learn about your geographic origin.
Okay.
You learn about, we each have a community of microbes in us, and
okay.
It differs depending on how you were born. Were you born by cesarean or were you born naturally?
Oh,
were you,
I see.
Were
okay.
you breastfed or not? This has a lot okay. to do with what kind of bugs you carry.
Yeah.
And kids that are born by cesarean do not get their mom's microbes because it's a hygienic process.
Oh.
And and that may explain why they have higher rates of allergy.
Hmm.
And also, when you're breastfed, you acquire both prebiotics in the form of the milk, which is food for microbes, and a particular kind of microbe that comes with the breast milk that's really important for babies.
Yeah.
We've just figured that out. And and then it has to do with, you know, your lifestyle, basically. What kind of food do you eat? Are you eating a lot of processed food or whole foods? Do you eat a lot of plant foods?
Yeah.
All this shapes the group of bugs in your gut, and that in turn has a very large bearing on your health.
So are you in the upper 10% of your microbiome?
You know, we don't know enough to boast about our microbes.
okay.
We'll get there soon, I'm sure.
Sounds great. Michael, thanks so much for taking the time. Nice speaking with you once again.
Thank you, Michael.
The book is Cooked. The author is Michael Pollan. Thank you, Michael. Oh, yeah. Penguin and the Penguin Press. Okay, then. How's your microbiome, John?
I don't know. I think it's okay. Today it seems pretty good.
Yeah? Some days not so much?
I don't know. Yeah, some days maybe not so much.
Yeah. I always wondered about if I was breastfed or not, because I was the youngest of four.
Probably not.
Four boys. So I think, I know Clayton was definitely.
Oldest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Howard, second.
Part.
By Arthur, I think not.
And
I
you,
think my
by you, you're probably
compromised
lucky.
Thanks to the three of them.
You were lucky to be fed at all.
The results you see before you.
Yeah. No, well, good results.
Okay. All right. So what are you going to play here?
This is an Isley Brothers, an old Isley Brothers
really?
Tune, yeah, called For the Love of You.
Oh, sounds great.
Michael Feldman.
What?
No, no.
Okay. Sometimes he fibs.
No,
but it is Jeff's birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Jeff. Our bass player. Isn't that nice? Jason Hurwitz, I have 5 alarm clocks. Why can't I wake up to any of them? This is a cry for help. Where is Jason? Jason? This is really, it is cry for help. You have 5 that you set every day?
3 on a regular basis, 5 when it's important to wake up.
You set 5 alarm clocks when you have to get up. Come down here. I mean, are you on any sort of substance where that you would sleep? Or any medical substance? I don't mean anything else than that.
No.
No?
No substances.
Has this been always true of you, even since you were a lad?
No, it started in college when I...
Now we're getting somewhere.
Exactly, yeah. Just wasn't getting a lot of sleep and started sleeping through a couple of things. The worst morning, I slept through 2 tests and a paper submission. But luckily, I had nice...
Probably slept through your senior year as well. Did you graduate?
I did graduate, yes. Yeah. Almost slept through that, too, though. Yeah. So.
Still, this is interesting because it's almost we should study you, I think.
As long as you pay me, I'm okay with that.
Are you a real deep sleeper? Is that what it is?
I am, yeah. Yep. No, I don't.
Is it a dreamless sleep or a dream sleep? Is it REM or?
No, dreamless for sure. Every once in a while I wake up remembering a really weird dream, but for the most part, just I'm out and then eventually I'm up.
Do you snore?
Yes.
That could be the way to wake him up, simply pinch his nose at 6 a.m. Does that work?
I don't know. She hasn't tried it yet, but thank you.
Let me show you. I'm not here.
Absolutely. Pinching the nose is very effective in stopping the snoring.
Yes, but they wake the person up.
Depends on how deeply they're asleep, but they will stop snoring.
It does wake you up.
There you go. Just pinch his nose. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the help.
Yeah, I'm always here to help. That's my... I don't have a degree in anything that would help, but I try. What are the determining factors for what pig is used in barbecue? Age, organic, raised, etc. Karen, you're in software. Stay in software. That's what I say. Don't start messing around with pig. Appropriate pigs.
Now. They asked me to write a question to Michael.
Yeah. You know that I'm Michael, by the way. I'm just out of curiosity.
I thought it was a choice. So my question was towards Michael Pollan.
Oh! So you're the wrong Michael.
There you
go. Right, Michael, for you.
That's right.
Oh, very good. Okay, I have no idea. Too bad you didn't ask him.
All right. Well, it's still a question out there then.
Asking a Jewish guy about pigs is an interesting choice. Even if they're kosher occasionally. I was surprised to hear that. When does the dance start? Audrey Urban wants to know from Wanakee. Audrey, did you think you were coming to a dance? What sort of dance would you hope to be coming to?
Well, I like the music here.
Yeah.
How about a good jitterbug?
Yeah. You got a jitterbug, gentlemen?
No.
Will you dance? We play you a jitterbug. Sorry, I'm trying to help, and it doesn't succeed. Okay, jitterbug. Do you go out dancing yet?
Not recently, no.
No. What's your best dance? Your best dance move or dance?
I would say jitterbug.
Okay.
See, I'm in that area. Yeah.
Do you do that thing where you go between the legs and over the back and you wear the poodle skirt, the whole thing?
Not anymore.
At your height of jitterbugging?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you still have the poodle skirt?
No.
Because I thought I could see you in it. Okay. Well, we got to move on. Does that mean we're moving on?
Huh?
Oh, that's a jitterbug.
I don't really know what jitterbug is.
Huh?
I really don't know what jitterbug is.
Is that it? Something like that?
Isn't it like a jive? It's like a jive or something like that.
Nothing like that. No. How are we doing time-wise, all right?
Yeah, you got about 4 minutes.
Okay. Why does everyone in Wisconsin follow the speed limit? Jenny. Huh? No, it's speed limit plus 5. That's fair. That's why they make it 55, so you can drive 60. And so forth. So on and so forth. 10? 10? Okay, 10. I have 10. Do I hear 15? People in Wisconsin are law-abiding. When there's no cops around, especially. Did you ever pass a cop car? Boy, that's the worst feeling, isn't it? This guy is dawdling, saying, oh, what the, you know. It's a two-lane highway. I'll never get anywhere. Go around him. You notice as you're passing him, he is in full uniform. And it is a police officer. That's a bad feeling. So you ease back. You just ease back, say, just trying to see the road, you know. And I hate it. You know, cops do that. That's annoying, isn't it? I mean, we need police. And thank, you know, State Patrol. Nice guys, a lot of them. But when they do that thing where they drive exactly the speed limit, I mean, they're the ones that, you know, just to slow down everybody's day. It drives me crazy. Jenny, does that answer your question? You're welcome. Where are you from, Jenny?
Indiana.
You're from where?
Indiana.
Indiana. Oh, yeah, right. How many time zones? How many speed zones in Indiana? So arbitrary. Why does my water softener keep exploding? Hard water? I have no idea. Maybe you got heavy water. Are you using heavy water instead of regular water in here? Whose water softener is exploding here? Oh, hi. You're with her. Okay. It's still exploding?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Do we have a water softener guy here? Usually we have a Culligan man comes to the show. Huh? We'll get on that for you. I'm sure someone will call in. Okay.
Rotor.
Okay. We're gonna. Aren't you glad you got this on film? We're going to go right now to the quiz because we have no answer for the water softener question. That kind of stymies me in my attempt to be helpful. Before we can play the quiz, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. And to that end, we have... Hi. Long trip there. And you are?
Chris.
Chris, are you from around here, Chris?
Yes. I live in the east side. Fashionable east side.
Chris from the east side, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, these are the four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly... I'll start over.
I'm sorry.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two... Big data. That's what she said. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the phone lines trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good job. Really sold that line. Who wants to play the quiz? Here's your chance to show us what you can do, what you've learned all those years in school that never paid off for you until now. He doesn't seem to want to raise his own hand. I mean, that makes a difference. He does? Or he's just fixing his hair and he was...
A hypno here, Michael.
Come on down here before you lose any more. So how are you?
I'm fine, Michael. Great being here.
Yeah. And you are?
I'm Cliff Sorensen from Eau Claire.
Oh, yeah, Cliff from Eau Claire, ladies and gentlemen. Who knows the Menards guy personally? Do you hang out with the Menards dude? What's his name?
And John Menards, his pay scale is a little higher than mine.
Yeah. Do you work there, or did you work there? Or?
No, but I do buy products there. He does help hospitals.
Yes, he does. Very nice stuff. Cliff, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I love trivia.
This is not trivia. This is my life, Cliff.
Then I also like pursuits.
Pursuits, okay. Trivia and pursuits. You're the perfect guy for this. Come on up here. This could be hard. Can I help you on this end? Okay. All right, there you go. Sit over here, though. That's my seat, Cliff. You're a little presumptuous, I gotta say. That's my seat. All right, put that there so we can hear you. All righty, then. So what field of endeavor are you in or were you in?
No, I'm still working. Yeah. I counsel military veterans.
Oh, you do?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. And where do you do that?
In Eau Claire.
In Eau Claire. Keeps coming up in your conversation. I can't help it. Are you from Eau Claire? Were you born in Eau Claire?
I was born in Chippewa Falls.
Oh, God.
Which is
How'd you get to Eau Claire from there?
Drove down 53.
And this is important. At what speed? Do you remember the speed you took?
Back then, 55.
55.
Yes,
and
sir.
Do you stay? Are you 55-er? Is that as fast as you'll go? Or don't you care to say?
In public, 55.
Oh, that's cool. All right. And hobbies? Are you a hobbyist? What do you do for kicks?
I read, and in the evenings, I help homeless veterans. And
you
so
do.
I put on a cape and go out and help homeless veterans.
Oh.
I'm a hero.
Yeah, you are, really. Boy. So what do you do to relax, though? I mean, that's sort of, I mean, you're always giving. Don't you want to take occasionally?
I come to your show. In honor of Father's Day, my daughter brought me to the show.
Oh, that's terrific. Where is your daughter? There she is. What is your daughter's name?
Kristen.
Kristen.
From Wanakee.
Thanks for doing that. Very nice of you. And cheap. It's a nice gesture and a pretty cheap one. You know, at the same time. All right, Cliff, you know how this works. Someone out there plays along with you. You're Mr. Trivia, so you're in good shape.
Sounds good.
Okay. You'll have a partner on the line. And how do we do that, Sarah?
People at home who want to play, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. And you ask them a qualifying question.
Yes, I do. Here it is.
Easy ones.
Easy ones. Percentage of designated drivers who have been drinking. This is a Florida Gainesville poll, so factor that in. University of Florida Gainesville. Percentage of designated drivers who actually have had a drink in the course of the evening, within about how many percent?
10.
Okay. Let's go to the phones right now. Rudy, our old pal from Vermilion is on with us. Hey, Rudy, how are you?
Good.
I was just thinking about you.
Oh, yeah, well, I think about you once a week or, you know.
Oh, boy.
A couple times a month, I
think. We got something here we've never dealt with, is what I'm thinking, Rudy.
Yeah, it's maybe uncharted territory.
I think it'll stay that way, but it's great to hear from you. And how are things in Vermilion then, Ohio?
Well, things in Vermilion are kind of a mystery because I actually live on Putin Bay now. It's an island in Lake Erie.
Oh, yeah, you moved. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you like that then?
I love it. That's why we're here.
Yeah. So. What do you do on this island, Rudy?
I leave it every day. I go to my job on the mainland.
Oh, you do? Back in Vermilion?
No, it's actually in Elmore, another huge population center in Ohio.
Yeah. Did you ever leave the Golden Triangle there or not?
I was in South Carolina over the weekend because
my
daughter moved down there.
Oh, she did, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, that's great. Nice to hear from you, really. I would come back out in your area sometime and do a show. I'd love to come out there again.
Now, yeah, I've got to do it on the island.
On what? On the island?
The island, yeah. That would be interesting.
Do you have radio reception on the island?
I have cell phone reception most of the time. So.
Well, I'll call you then. We'll talk about it. Percentage of designated drivers who have been drinking. The surprising results of this poll.
Yeah, I have no idea, so I'm going to throw my dart in the middle of the world and say 50%.
Okay, and you said 10%?
I did.
It's 40%. You're only slightly...
Wow.
Yes, shocking. I said it was shocking. Congratulations, though, for you. Rudy, you qualify for the quiz. It's old times. Like old times. Remember Miss Vermilion? Remember her?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, of 1957?
Yeah.
Wasn't it something like 57, I think? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was 58.
58. It could have been 58. Rudy, Cliff.
Hey, Rudy. How goes it?
Good, Cliff. How are you?
Awesome. Wisconsin's gorgeous.
Are you looking at it from here, Cliff? I see. Can you see through walls when you put your cape on? That's possibly. Sure. Yeah, okay. So, Cliff and Rudy, you are a team right now. Rudy's also very good with trivia and stuff like that, so you guys are a strong team. What do we have there?
Categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Rudy, what would you like?
Let's go for science.
Science, okay. What happened? Cheetahs are fast, but what really gets you is their acceleration, their agility, or their sense of style.
You know, style is always important, but if you're a predator, it's probably more about speed or agility.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
are you asking me or
maybe
are you telling
just
me?
The, oh, I'm
Cliff,
just talking out loud.
Weigh in, Cliff.
Can I ask the audience?
No.
No. They're famous for accelerating, so maybe acceleration.
Acceleration? Cliff?
Sounds good.
Yeah, acceleration, that's it. That's where they get you, that acceleration.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. What's left there?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends?
Cliff?
Things I should have learned.
In school.
In school.
Okay. What is Godwanda? Godwanda.
What's another pronunciation?
Godwanda. How else is Godwanda? G-O-D Wanda.
What you think, Rudy?
Godwanda.
I'm heading to the subcontinent. Maybe it's a Hindu deity or something.
No.
Could be something you sprinkle on.
I don't think
pasta.
So.
Pasta? No. No.
No, Cliff, that didn't sound good.
Godwanda. 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 Is it faster? Sounds. Godwanda.
Is it from Africa?
I can't answer questions. I ask questions.
Cliff, I'm leaving this one up to you.
Okay, you should have learned this in school. We have to call time.
Something to eat.
No. It was one of the ancient supercontinent that split up into all the things we have now. What was it called? Godwanda. Godwanda. I love saying it, but okay.
That's one right and one wrong.
Okay, don't worry about it.
Categories remaining are current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
Okay. Rudy, what do you think? What do you think fast?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay. Odds and ends it is. Total number of parking spaces in the U.S. Total number of parking spaces in the U.S. Is it only a few hundred? That's the problem. B, half a billion. Or C, doesn't matter, you're always one short.
Well, C is probably one
C
that works.
C sounds good to
not,
me.
Yeah, I know, but that's the last one.
And then, so it's not 100, so it's the one in the middle.
You're saying half a billion parking spaces?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's just in parking enclosures and such. There's also street parking for another 700 people. So that's
two right and one wrong.
Okay.
And the categories left are current events, people, or places.
I love it when you twirl your little button there.
This one? All the power in the universe.
Okay, so what did we choose a category yet?
Current events.
Current events,
good.
Right out of the news, and here
yes,
it
sir.
Is. You probably read this. J.C. Penney's tea kettle. Heard about this. Sold out despite or because it looked like who? The tea kettle at J.C. Penney's.
Hitler.
The whistling Hitler? Are you saying the whistling Hitler? Rudy, how do you feel about that?
If it's a current event, I'm going with Cliff. I live on a rock, so I have no idea.
That's it, the whistling Hitler teapot. Sold out. Holy cow, they won.
Cliff, you can celebrate Dairy Month with award-winning cheeses and natural butters from the Nordic Creamery, family farmed in since 1917 by the Beckham Langarts of Westby, Wisconsin. Rudy, wake up on the right side of the bed every morning to Stephen Brew's breakfast blend and soothe frazzled nerves later in the day with rich and tasty Costa Rican Terra soup. from Madison Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And each of you can return to summertime simplicity with a Celebrate Erie 2006 Frisbee and find out things you never even dreamed of in What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Congratulations to you both.
Way to go, Flip!
Thank you, Michael. Thank
Tickets
you.
Are available
Hang
for
on,
upcoming
Rudy.
Shows
sure
in Madison.
That.
Paul Rudnick joins us next week. Call 608-262-2201 or click over to notmuch.com to reserve your ticket now. You can also go to notmuch.com to keep the What Do You Know fun going throughout the week. You can join our Facebook family, enjoy Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com.
Jitterbug.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulian on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we honor dads in a hotline, thanks for the memos, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says, no way this dude is Superman, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah, he's not. That's Superman, and that he is no Superman. Some British guy. Isn't he some British guy, this guy? The new Superman? Huh? What's with that?
It's 00 Superman?
Ridiculous. Well, you know, each week at this time, we read actual memos and other communications as well by actual listeners, just to prove we have them. Okay. Here we go. Well, this is up your alley, Canada.
Okay.
Canada stuff.
A memo from Canada.
Yeah, from Canada, all the way. Wow. You got here somehow. Wow. Probably through the St. Lawrence to come on the mail, the mail ship.
The mail boat, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Ard says, I was traveling with some Canadians years ago. they told me of a game, it's in quotes, which I've been unable to corroborate on the internet. The game held during the winter months, cold winter months of Canada, consists of, so many of you have heard of this, consists of two sofas or large chairs with a pole balanced on top. Players straddle the pole whilst holding a bucket of water. Long winters. Long winters.
Long drunken winters.
Oh, long drunken. They attempt to scoot across the pole without spilling any water. So I guess it's called scoot. Scoot pole. Or scoot
it's
pole.
It's only played in the winter?
primarily, I think, the summary things to do outside.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Scoot pole?
Not a once. Hockey. We have hockey. We play that in the winter.
Well, this doesn't appear to be hockey, though.
sure it's not a hockey stick they're balancing? It's a pole.
It could be. I suppose if they're looking for a pole, that'd be the one they'd likely find, I would think. Hockey pole. But that would kind of get you at the end, though.
Yeah. Uptick. That's an uptick at the end.
Okay, so anyone knows can call. Anyone here ever heard of this Canadian game? Anyone here from Canada? No, okay. Here's the actual memo sent in by actual listeners. And it's a jacket. Okay. The person in question here actually obtained this memo by going to a yard sale and buying a jacket in which one of the pockets this memo resided. So that's pretty cool. Well, a found memo. It reads as follows. I think there are some issues that need to be addressed. When you have to use the restroom, just go. I really do not need to know every time you are going. I have a lot of issues with the fact that public reading material is going to the restroom with you and coming back. I think they mean and not coming back, but it says and coming back. If needed, I can explain where the problem lies and that I definitely do not want any of my personal reading items to be taken into a restroom at any time.
Well, I think they mean coming back.
Yeah, thank you. I am not going to be the office maid. I will not clean up after someone's personal messes and believe I am not expected to do so. With that said, I feel keeping a somewhat clean work environment is important to employees. Somewhat clean. It's okay. I would appreciate if you would not help yourself to food items on my desk unless I have offered them to you. If you would rather I did not have these items at my desk, please let me know that. Several of these items are just common courtesy and respect. Having to send this email is not easy. I am in an awkward position. However, I do feel these items need to be addressed. As human beings, we are all different. I understand this. I certainly hope you let me know if there are things that I do that seem inappropriate or disrespectful. Thank you so much for that memo, and I'm sure it got some responses, is what I'm thinking. No, probably not.
To thine own self be true.
Yeah. This person has a few issues.
Yeah.
Probably not should be not in a leadership position.
That's right.
I would think if you have that many issues. A followership. You'd be in a followership position. Mm-hmm. Where can they, if people want to write to us?
If they want to send such stellar memos, they send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and find a way to post it there.
And if they still are using what you call...
That was strange.
Yeah, that was not yet. if they're still using the mails,
the address is 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706, care of What Do You Know. Thanks for the memos. They can also tweet them to you 140 characters at a time if they so choose.
Yeah, okay. You're anxious to play that, huh? Should I give you the cue for that?
They're cracking up.
Have any of you watched the show called Family Tree on HBO? Chris O'Dowd plays a man who is actually searching for his family tree in England and leads him to America and other places, other continents we suspect. We haven't seen that many yet. But he has a friend who's like the perfect, like the smartest guy you ever met at being an idiot. A smart idiot friend. I don't know if you ever had one or been one. I don't know, but this guy is amazing. His name is, what's that character's name? Pete Stupples. It was played by Tom Bennett. And actually inspired this Father's Day thing we're going to do right now because this character wants to be a dad. He's ready to be a dad. And there's just a little bit to explain that.
But if I meet the right girl, I'm happy to have a baby, and it'd be a little bait, and I'd wear it on a papoose, and then I'd push him on the swings and the roundabouts, then I'd have a go, because I still love playgrounds, especially when drunk.
Yes. That's Pete Stupples. Anyhow... That inspired me to think, you know, you run into these guys once in a while, they're really ready to have a baby. It's not just women who feel like, well, I should have a baby. There are guys. Sometimes they're not married or dating or not even remotely close to dating someone, but they want to have a baby. There's that drive to fatherhood. And you realize, I never had this, but I'm told. I found about it afterwards. You know, I said, oh, I'm going to be a dad. Okay, so that's a little different. But guys like Pete Stupples who want to have a baby. So that's our Father's Day tribute today, is we want to hear from guys out there who are ready. They're geared up. They're aching to go. They want to be a dad. They want to have a baby like Pete Stupples. And let's hear from you at this number.
The number, I wonder if they gave it to me. I think it's 1-800-942-5669.
It's the same number every week.
Yes, which is also 1-800-WA-NO and 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
So let's hear from all the Pete Stupples out there who are they're ready to have a baby because they like playing at playgrounds, even, you know, not drunk. Mm-hmm. Finally can do that. That's one of the nice things about having a child, is you get to play games and do all the things you did when you were a child once again.
Sobriety.
Yes, yes. That number, once again?
That number, once again, is 1-800-942-5669.
Yes. Okay. And the phone is not ringing.
It isn't ringing.
I notice it's not ringing right now, but I know there are guys out there who say yes.
Who are ready to be fathers, yes.
It's Father's Day coming up.
I have dumped many of them.
Yeah. Maybe some of them could call in.
They should. That number again is 1-800-942-5669.
Do you remember any of the names? Maybe we can track them
sure,
down.
Sure, we can call them up.
Yeah, we could track them down.
Yeah.
Guys, and you weren't ready?
No.
No.
No, I never will be.
Okay, cool. This is not for you then.
No.
I'm saying this
fatherhood is not for me.
No, fatherhood is not for me. Guys, they want to, you know, this. Afterwards, I was certainly glad that I didn't choose it, but I was very glad.
Yeah, you love your daughters very much.
Yes, it's a great thing. Yeah. It's a great thing. But some guys seem to know that in advance, that this is, you know, I really want to be a dad, want to have the baby, want to do the papoose thing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and the whole thing. So here's Scott, for example, in Columbia, South Carolina. Hey, Scott.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Are you feeling that way, Scott?
Yes, I have been feeling that way. I'm single, 40. I'm divorced. I guess that doesn't make me single. I got to check that divorce box now, don't I?
Yeah, I don't know, really. Okay, so you're single and 40, but you want a kid.
Yeah, and I've had relationships where, you know, I've had lovely girlfriends, but even lovelier kids. Mm. And when those relationships ended, I realized, wow, gosh, really miss those kids.
Oh, yeah. Not the girls so much. So, not the girlfriends.
Well, it's sometimes.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I'm feeling that. So yeah. And I live quite a ways from my father, so...
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of feeling that this weekend, but that struck a chord when you mentioned that.
Yeah, Father's Day coming up and everything. So what are you doing about it, Scott? What's your plan?
Casting a wide net.
Are you?
I
don't know if I'd go that way. You know, that can get you in all kinds of trouble, casting a wide net.
Well, you know, it's, some you throw back, but, you know, you just put yourself out there.
Some throw you back.
Try to be available. And yeah, that actually happens more often.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you this, Scott. What makes you think you'd be a good father?
I enjoy their company. I enjoy children's company. I'm often called on to babysit for friends of my generation who have successfully started families.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to be.
Always wanted to be. Even when you were a baby yourself? Because then it's babies having babies and getting that old thing. But.
I was a little self-absorbed back then. Yeah. I think I've grown up a little since then. But it appeals to me.
Okay.
I'm hoping time isn't running out.
Okay, well, if there's a woman out there who feels the same way, remember Scott, Columbia, South Carolina. Okay, we'll make note of that. Thanks, Scott. Nice to hear from you.
Enjoy the show for many years. Thanks for letting me on.
Thank you. Bye. Pepe?
Yes.
How are you?
Wonderful. And yourself?
I'm pretty good, thank you. In Dalton, Georgia.
Dalton, Georgia, yes.
Yeah, do you feel this way, too? Like you really would like to have a kid?
Well, actually, I'm now married and do have a kid, but... I did go through this my early 30s. I was single, and I'd pretty much relegated myself to being a lifelong bachelor. And then I started getting the pangs of, you know, I would really like to have a kid. But I didn't want to deal with, you know, having to get married, have a relationship or anything.
There's a woman involved, let's face it.
Yeah. But I needed a woman involved to do it. So what I started doing at my workplace, which I won't mention, but at my workplace, I started surveying some of the women around there as to what would be, if they, number one, would consider it, what would be their requirements for having a child for somebody, whether it's artificial insemination or the traditional way,
or
and carry that child Yeah, and then let me have the child and go about it. And it was very, very interesting. It turned into something, you know, highly interesting to hear all the varied answers to what these people wanted. It was real easy to rule out the ones that said, yeah, well, I figure about $5,000. And I'm like, okay, you're out of the running right away.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
Yeah, it went on to, you know, various different things. And I did get quite a few lectures onto the moralities of what I was contemplating. So it was quite interesting.
Did the HR person speak to you at all about any of these conversations? And it's a little, you know, the workplace.
It was a little bit unorthodox for the workplace, but surprisingly, no. Yeah, in fact, some of the management was part of the survey, and they, some of them found it quite interesting.
So
and lo and behold, you know, about a year later, I met my now current wife, and we have a beautiful 15-year-old son now, and you know, everything worked out, you know, for the best. But it was quite interesting.
Well, that's good. She wasn't in your office though, right? She wasn't from that survey.
No, she was not.
Yeah, and let me ask you this though, Pepe, was it was cracked up to be in retrospect?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's like the best thing that ever happened to me, meeting her and then having this child.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you, and happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much.
All right. Nice speaking with you. Take care. Okay. Here's Keith in Columbia, South Carolina. Hey, Keith.
Yeah, hey.
Lots going on in South Carolina.
I don't know. Could be the heat, I guess, down here.
Yeah. Keith, are you having some of these pangs right now?
Oh, yeah. I'm 46 years old, single, never been married.
Yeah.
Looking for a nice Catholic girl, which is very difficult down here in the South.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Or
the Catholic?
the Catholic.
Yeah, okay.
Some of them are nice, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm adopted, so,
okay. You
know, not knowing my biological roots is that, you know, I want to know if there's something of me left when I go, years from now.
Yeah.
I'm working on my family's history, and I know more about their biological history than they do.
Yeah.
And it sort of got me wondering, so I'm looking, actually. Yeah. I'm even on cherryblossoms.com and corresponding with someone.
Well, is that a dating site or?
Yeah, it used to be Cherry Blossoms magazine, you know, where they American men up with foreign women, but now it's the online thing.
Yeah.
And I was a Peace Corps volunteer in the Philippines, and I years ago. So
yeah.
But I'm ready. You know, I find that when you're single and unmarried, and you don't have, or even if you're married and you don't have kids, you don't get invited anywhere.
Oh.
Because all of your friends... No, you don't... Because all of your friends are basically married, have kids, so they get together to complain about their teenagers and their kids, and they have these parties, and they talk to each other at church, but you're by yourself. So, hey, you know... Might get me an invitation if I had kids and I was married.
But you know, Keith, is that a good reason to have a child to get invitations?
No, but I'm ready to have a family, and my nephews and I have 17 nephews and nieces.
Oh wow!
So I love hanging around kids. I used to enjoy being a substitute teacher.
Oh, okay.
Which really means I love kids.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to settle down and have a family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just really, you know, like,
sounds like you're serious.
Father's Day.
Yeah. Coming
you
up.
Know, and you kind of feel left out. You know.
Right.
The priest says, well, would all our fathers stand up in church?
Oh.
All our fathers and grandfathers. And you're the only guy that's not standing.
Yeah. Why don't you stand up anyway? Just, you know, get the pressure off.
Then I got to go to confession when I'm not married. I don't have a kid.
All right, Keith. Well, it sounds like, and remember, Keith is in Columbia, South Carolina, so I think people can probably, you know, get a hold of you. They hear this. Keith would be, you know, sounds like a genuine and a nice guy. And, Keith, I hope you get your wish.
Yeah. I've loved your show for years. So yes. I listen to it every Saturday. So.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Keith.
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Goodbye.
Okay, there's Keith. So you want, you know, another example of this phenomenon. And I think it's a little studied or understood phenomenon of men. Because, you know, you need a woman is the main part, you know. Women who want babies can probably find, you know. Anyhow, Kyle's on the line. I don't know, I'm looking at you and you're giving me this nod, which is not really yes. But, in Arcadia, Michigan. Hey, Kyle.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How's yourself?
I'm sorry?
Good. Were you thinking about this baby thing now, Father's Day coming up, and you wish you were a dad sort of thing?
Well, yeah. I think it's a good thing that I'm thinking about it because my wife is pregnant, so we actually have one on the way.
Think quick.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So due in November, so
yeah.
We're very excited about that, but it's something that we're both really looking forward to.
Yeah. And this is something that you've been anticipating for some time now, you know, finally having a child?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I love the relationship that I have with both my dad and my stepdad and my father-in-law for that matter too. And so it's, I think, a very important relationship.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if it's boy or girl or...
No, not to us.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
As long as it's one of the two.
Yeah. Or whatever. And well, okay, that's fantastic. So your dream is coming true.
That's correct.
That's correct. And have you made preparations now? What in both in your thinking and in you know, around the house, for the child?
Yeah, if I'm being honest, not really, not yet. So
you ought to at least cover the electrical sockets. That's the first thing to do, is because they like to crawl up in them and crawl into the electrical sockets.
Do you know this from experience?
Yes. The first thing we did, I didn't know what. I'll tell you something. I mean, I didn't know I was going to be. I was glad to be a father, and in retrospect, I was the best thing in my life, and so forth. But you know what? I went to baby class, and you have to bring a pillow and report to baby class at the hospital. All right. So you bring a pillow, and the pillow is supposed to be a baby. But I'll tell you, I didn't see any relationship between the pillow and. You know, as the time went on, I kept thinking this pillow is a pain in the. It was nothing like a baby's nothing like a pillow, you know. So it wasn't helpful, is what I'm saying. And then when you come home from the hospital, they give you a little carrier, and we had the carrier, I guess. And they knit a little hat, you know, the little red stripes or whatever they call them, blue stripes, some kind of stripes. Knit a little hat for the baby. You come home and you walk in, and you got the balloons, you know, the baby balloons and all that stuff. You walk in the house, and then you say, like, "Now what?" You know, I mean. It's the strangest feeling, am I right? You remember you walk in the house with your first baby and think, okay, what do we do now? This is obviously not a pillow. We can't fluff it up. You know, so, and then you start to, you know, you try to pick up on what you got to be doing. So it's kind of a shocker at first. So I would definitely do the electrical outlets. That's what I'm trying to say.
Got it.
Nice talking to you, though. Thanks.
Thanks very much.
Best of luck to you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. We got one more here. James has been waiting in Kansas City. James is in Kansas City, I do believe. All right. Is he?
There's a fellow on there from Columbia, South Carolina, named Keith. And I had a little something to add a little repost to that.
A repost? Yes, go ahead. Is this Rob?
Something different to say.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. You're on the air now. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Go ahead, Rob. What do you got for me?
Well, Keith from Columbia, South Carolina, said he had 17 nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be a dad.
Right.
Well, I've only got 5 nieces and nephews. And let me tell you what, uncling is the number one job.
Uncling is good.
Uncling's good. Uncle Rob will always be cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Uncle, it's easier because you get to go home. Afterwards,
you drop them off. You get them all fired up, and you drop them off.
Yeah.
Plus, you give them toys that make a lot of noise or dangerous. You know.
Sure.
Stuff like that.
You got to.
Yeah. You know, mom and dad have to make them do this, do that.
Yeah.
That stuff, homework. Uncle Rob ain't gonna make you do no homework.
Uncle Rob. There's Uncle Rob. Yes, and I think you're very right about that. And you're not responsible for their development in any sense of the word, their mental, spiritual, any development.
No. I think I am.
Oh, you are. Okay.
But in a completely different way than their parents are.
Right. In a bad way.
In a bad way. Obviously. Mom ain't going to teach you how to make a potato gun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The average parent will not make a potato gun for you. But Uncle Rob will, I'll tell you. I'm packing potato because of Uncle Rob. Thanks, Rob.
Look out for... Yes, sir. Thank
very,
you.
Very good. In favor of uncling. All right. Oh, wait a minute, though. We should end on that. It's hard to surpass uncling. And there is no Uncle's Day. You know, if there were Uncle's Day, then we would have something. But James is in Kansas City. You've been waiting for a while. Hey, James, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Are you thinking about, you'd like to have a baby?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I really would.
Yeah.
I kind of have three, kind of, sort of, but not really. I was involved in a relationship with a woman for a number of years.
Yeah.
And we ended that relationship, but I maintained a relationship with the three kids.
Oh, that's good.
So,
yeah.
So I've already been through the, you know, the... teenage years with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've never, and the youngest was three mm-hmm. when I met his mother, but, our relationship ended, I don't know, probably about after 4 years,
uh-huh.
but I've maintained a relationship with him now.
Yeah.
Today I'm going to go see the youngest, daughter.
Uh-huh.
So newborn baby.
Yeah.
But I really would,
yeah.
You know, it's, I enjoy it. I enjoy kids, I think I'm good with them, you know, mm-hmm. but I
sure.
haven't had my own yet, so it's hard to know.
Yeah, so you have fathering instincts. You can do
I think so.
Fatherly, you like being with kids and helping them, teaching and learning and being there for them and all that kind of stuff. But you just need the kid.
Yeah, I enjoy
basically.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Doing, you know, the Derby and Boy Scouts, you know, all that kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, I like to cook, so even like baking stuff. Yeah. You know, for the school things, I got to do that for a while, so that was fun.
So are you actually looking now for a way of doing this?
You know, I've never been married, and I'm not really involved in a relationship.
Oh.
I'm keeping my eyes open. You know, part of the problem is most of the women that I meet now have had children, and they're about, you know, done.
They're done with that.
you know, they've had enough of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well... Yeah, I've met women who are done with that, too. My wife is one of them.
Exactly.
Well, James, I wish you well. Maybe join a club or an organization or something and, you know, keep your options open. You know, sometimes you got to get married to have a kid, you know.
Right.
That's, you know, don't rule it out, I'm saying.
I can always be like Tony Randall, right?
Like Tony Randall?
I think he had a kid in his 80s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, be like Tony Randall. That's what I was going to say. Thanks, James. Nice speaking with you.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you all for calling in, fathers and wannabe fathers, on this Father's Day coming up. I'm happy to have a baby. Pete Stubbles is about the best, I think, just so he can play on playgrounds. Good motive. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good down there?
I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff asked me, he's on the faculty at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and that's what he asked you, if he was on the faculty?
No, he is.
He is.
And they have a group, they have a combo called We Six, and next Friday night here in Madison, right here in Madison.
Oh, I can't make it.
The We Six combo's playing for the Isthmus Jazz Festival.
Oh, no kidding. Why didn't you say that, Jeff? Oh,
you
don't have a
microphone.
You
can't hear him when he screams over there.
So let's recap.
A week from yesterday, We Six.
Date is what?
I have no idea.
What's the date there, Jeff?
Friday.
Next
is
Friday.
Not a date.
This coming Friday. Isthmus Jazz Festival.
Whatever that date is, the Isthmus Jazz Festival right here in Madison.
21st.
The 21st. Yeah. You can see the We Six featuring.
Featuring Mr.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Hammond.
Yes. On that. Okay, so there's a little tip for you.
And since I'm not playing with them, I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands.
Oh, segue. Almost the same.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, I have a candy bar in this pocket. It's melting, though. At this point in the show, my candy bar is all melt. How do you feel about Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworthy break up? I am shocked. Honest to God, I wake up sometimes at 2, 3 in the morning, and I think, that's what I think. It's nothing to do with this, but I do wake up at that time, and then if I think long enough, it'll come back to the whole Miley Cyrus thing. Where's Lindsay Thomas?
Why? Huh? Why?
Aren't you shocked? Is it just me? It can't just be me.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Didn't you? Can I get you to stand up here? I was. That I'm actually not doing both voices. Yeah, are you?
Good.
And you're a big Miley fan, I presume.
Yes.
It probably happened ever since she was in that show.
Yeah.
What was that show?
Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana. She was so good as Hannah Montana, but she's moved way on from that.
Yes.
And Liam, I don't know him, but they seem like a nice couple.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you think they were about perfect?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't like the one before him.
Me neither.
Yeah. Who was that one?
I can't remember.
Yeah, so you can't remember his name because he was so wrong for her. He was totally wrong. She's going through a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Liam probably was holding her back from those changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you gotta allow your star, the people you really love, to go through their changes.
Yeah.
And be supportive of her. I don't know. Do you think, is there someone she's seeing now?
I don't think so.
No. So she's single? Is there a status? Mm-hmm. You follow her?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's her status?
Single?
Cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And actually her parents are just getting divorced too.
Mm-hmm.
Finally getting around to it, really. Billy Ray, did you ever hear of her dad?
Mm-hmm.
Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yes.
Achy Breaky Heart?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
It's a nice song.
Oh, you like it? Okay, you like the whole family. Well, okay, well, I'm hoping for the best, and I'm glad to share this with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Miley deserves it. She's very talented. But who knows, what she's going to do next. That's Miley. Steve Sherman, who's from Peculiar, Missouri. I bet he can't say that enough. Okay, I'll go back there. I know we're going to have to work with the Shermans here.
You want me to meet you at the aisle?
Yeah, if you want. I'll get to you eventually. So the farthest walk for me in this entire show is trying to get to Steve Sherman. Well, let's walk back over here, because I know your wife is sitting there alone now, and, one of these guys who wants a baby could get to her. You don't want that to happen. That would be on. No.
I'm terrific. Thank you.
Peculiar. Where is Peculiar?
It's 40 miles south of Kansas City.
It is, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Peculiar was named?
Well, they tried several different names. They were already taken. And so they sent back to the postmaster, "We don't care what you call the town, just make it a little peculiar." And that's
surprisingly, it's not little peculiar then, really.
Surprisingly, yes.
They are pretty literal sometimes at the post office.
Yeah, that's the way government it is.
Yeah, pretty cool. I see you're a multidisciplined building technician. What is that?
Well, last
that sounds peculiar.
Last century was a jack of all trades, but this is the new millennia. So, I do residential remodeling.
Yeah. Okay. And this is Mrs. Sherman, Kim Sherman.
Yes, that's right.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm glad to see you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Nice to see you, too. Did you meet in Peculiar?
No, we met in Kansas City. We went to the same high school, but he was a year older. Yeah. We didn't actually know each other in high school. We met in a bar after high school.
Yeah. That'll happen sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was love at first drink, or what?
Well, I think we actually were sharing some Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I love this story. It has all the elements. It has the fried chicken, the drinking, everything.
Ask him what happened, I guess.
What happened? Because you don't remember? You too much fried chicken?
Well, I was playing pinball with a buddy of mine, and she was talking to one of my brother's girlfriends at the time. And it was September. It was very cool out, and she was the only one wearing shorts. Caught my eye.
That's all it took, I guess, huh? Really?
Well, and he had nice teeth.
You could see them next to your shorts, or what? I mean, I don't understand the whole. You liked his teeth, and he liked your shorts. That's a good basis, I guess.
And he had a good pickup line, which was, "My mom only has one eye."
I'd like to hear your lousy lines, if that's a good one. That, why is that a good line?
Well, it was certainly unique, and it was because her name was Eileen, E-I-L-E.
So you knew this was the guy. After that, you knew this was the guy for you.
One for me.
Fantastic. Nice to meet you both.
Pleasure
Sherman,
to meet you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Good to see you.
The Sherman. Oh, I didn't read your card. Can I? What was your question, Kim?
Where can I get a butt massage?
I think you're looking at him there. The guy with the nice teeth would probably help you out there. Oh, you came on a motorcycle.
Right, we came on the motorcycle. This is our 32 and a half anniversary because it's close to Christmas and always gets kind of screwed up. So anyway, we came up on the motorcycle to see you. It was either see you or go to the Museum of Historical Torture Devices. And
pretty much the same trip. What, do you sit behind or you sit next?
Yeah, we ride two up.
What does that mean?
Two on one motorcycle.
So you're behind there, you're waving whatever over your head. And
or anybody that comes by with motorcycle, got to give them the two-finger wave. Yeah.
The two-finger wave. Okay, I'm going to pass on that one. What do we have for our couple who drove 657 miles on a motorcycle?
Caffeine or alcohol?
Alcohol.
Alcohol, okay.
I think you said alcohol.
Yes, I think so. How about a bottle of Domaine de Sac and a bottle of Prairie Fumé, top-notch wines from Wollersheim Winery.
Sounds good, yes. Thanks again, Sherman. Nice to have you here. Thanks for making the trip. Oh, that torture museum sounds pretty good, though. Let's see now. Okay. Were you witty as a child? Who ever heard of a witty child? I don't know if I was witty as a child. They kept telling me to be quiet. So I guess I was. They just didn't like the form of humor that I was. Exactly the same, probably, I think. Okay. Okay. I think I've grabbed the wrong pile. Oh, no, I'm going to read my candy bar. This is a bribe, I think. Someone actually sent me this candy bar, which is now melted.
Most definitely.
Was it you guys? Dan. It's melted. I can't tell what it says on it. Dan Creighton, when are you going to do a show in Escanaba, Michigan? It is in the UP. Hey, well, I'll get you guys stand up here. Some genuine Youpers, ladies and gentlemen. Capture live. Are you a Youper, too? Yeah. He's from Milwaukee. Sit down. You're from Milwaukee. We don't need that. Posing as a Youper. I hate posers.
Well, he's moved in as a Youper now. He's...
Oh, come on. Get up, then. Come on. Get up. Oh.
A year under his belt, you know, so that's okay.
It's going to take more than a year, isn't it, to get the whole Youper thing?
Yeah, you got to get the language down. You know, once you get the language, it's pretty good, Derry.
Tell me what, how, like, give me a little primer here in language.
Well, Derry, we come up here in Dakar, the two of us there, and we was all going around by ourselves, so that was pretty nice, eh?
All right. Now, let's say, like, in conversation, you're talking to somebody. Let's say you're talking to a lady that you meet. What is considered a good way to talk to her?
You might want to say, Elmi is looking pretty good today. How's things going with you? You know, and then she would respond, and, you know.
Or not.
Or not. Or she'd haul off and hit you and send you into the brush by yourself, you know, one or the other.
She'd send you into the brush by yourself?
Yeah. All alone as you, you know, just nothing going on for you then. Yeah. So it goes good, though.
A typical form of greeting. Now, if I'm walking into a let's say I'm walking into a bar in Escanaba and I see someone there I kind of know, what would I say?
Only wall side. Look at you, dear. You're still alive, eh?
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Now you know. I love it up there. That's like our Canada, sort of. You guys are almost Canada. Canada
light.
Yeah. Canada light, yeah. But you should be autonomous. You know? It should be the principality of Upper Peninsula or something like that.
We should be. Yeah. We should be Wisconsin.
Oh, actually. All right. Let's wait a minute. We're getting to something heavy here. Yeah.
Well, we should be Wisconsin.
Well, you are attached. It's like an appendix.
All we got going with Lower Michigan is a bridge. Yeah. Yeah, you can blow that up anytime. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. You blow it up, you save the deer herd in the Upper Peninsula. Because all the trolls come up, and they want to shoot your deer. You know, so.
But they all come up from Illinois up through Wisconsin anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, we got a few. Most of them fishing, though. Yeah, they like the big walleyes. Right. But
is there a secession movement, actually, for the UP?
There has been one going on for about 50, 60 years. And
getting anywhere, though, Larry?
Well, they got two votes so far, so, you know, they're working on it.
Okay, thank you. From the UP, we're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here. That's what makes us a quiz show, I guess you could say. And I know some of you are aching. So, if you are aching, for unrelated reasons even, and you go, oh, she almost put her arm around. Oh, yes, you want to do it? You're so lucky, because no one else raised anything. And you did. You put down your plant. You got a little plant there. Thank you for doing that. It's like pulling teeth around here to get people to play the quiz these days. How are you?
I'm well. It's my dad's birthday today.
Yeah. Dad. Oh, it's almost Father's Day. And are you from town? Are you from Madison?
Yep. I'm from Madison, but I go to school in Ashland. So.
Okay. Are you from Drake Street?
Yep.
Good. I've seen your dad walking around. Yeah, yeah. How are you? You got all the flowers and stuff in your yard, plants and things. Yeah. And I noticed you had a plant in your hand there.
Yep. That's a little bit of sage. I just got it at the farmer's market.
Sage. What are you going to use that for?
I'm going to grow it up, and then I'm going to dry it and smudge with it.
I'm sorry?
Smudge. It's like a clarifying thing to get the good things in the room.
You smudge your room? It clarifies the room?
Yeah. Like when I move back up north, I'm just going to smudge it, and the smoke is going to kind of purify it. So.
You do that in the UP, too, I bet you, pretty much. Your name there is?
My name is Devin.
Devin?
Mm-hmm.
Come on up. You qualify. If you're smudging, I don't have to ask you anything more. Have a seat there, Devin. Going back up to school?
Yeah.
What are you schooling in?
I'm going to school for natural resources.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah, and so is there an emphasis within that?
Yeah, fisheries and wildlife management. So I'm going to be working with Glyphwick as a wild rice intern this summer. It's going to be good.
Oh, and but what is that?
It's the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Did you know early on that this is something you wanted to do, or is this...
I thought I wanted to do theater for a while.
Oh, you did, yeah.
And then,
well, fish and wildlife theater, very closely related.
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah. And then how did you get interested in this?
My parents sent me up to a semester school called Conserve School.
Uh-huh.
And you just live up there for, you know, a semester, and you do, like, really get out there a lot. You know, classes outside, like, at least 50% of the time.
It's cool.
A lot of fun. It's a really good program, so.
And you know, if someone out there hears this and thinks, well, that'd be really cool. Where would they find more information?
I believe it's www.conservschool.org.
Okay.
And they actually offer scholarships. Like, I got it on full scholarship.
Oh, fantastic.
They're really great people. They've got land next to Sylvania Wilderness. There's eight lakes. It's just, it's a fantastic place to, you know, spend a semester and really help prepare me for college.
Well, very cool. That's very cool. Okay, so maybe someone else will pick up on that.
Yeah,
that'd be really kind of cool. Someone out there will play along with you, Devin, and how do they do that, Sarah?
They dial 1-800-942.
They're on the phone already here.
Then I won't read the rest of the number.
Yeah. Don't bother to call, because look, we got Chris, for example, is on the line. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you, Michael?
Good. But, you know, I didn't ask the question yet, Chris.
Well, I was waiting for it, though.
All right. Well, if you wait just a minute longer, here it is. Okay. Louisiana workers, it says here, are the most engaged in their jobs in the United States. Louisiana workers, most engaged, engaged, like enjoying, involved in, dedicated to, whatever you want to call that. Engaged is a new euphemism for that. Workers in which state are the least engaged is the question here. I see you're
I'm in Minnesota. I feel unengaged.
You're in Minnesota and you're not engaged in your job?
I'm not. Well, I am, yes, but yeah. I don't feel happy if that was the question.
Okay, so you would say Minnesota then for you?
Would that be wise?
It could be.
Sure, I'll go with that.
Yes, it is Minnesota. A lot of people are feeling like you. How do you like that, Chris? I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I am actually. I was being sarcastic when I said I was on.
I know.
My boss is probably listening. I love it.
But that's what it says here. I don't know how they determine that, but they have apparently. Well, that's great then. What is your job, or shouldn't I ask now?
Well, who am I playing with? I've lost her name.
My name is Devin.
Devin.
I actually have a degree in natural resources management, and I'd suggest a career in welding, but that's.
Wow, that's awesome. So, wait, did you go to Northland?
Weldon?
Welding? No, I went to the... I'd go for welding instead if I had to do it over again.
Have you considered welding?
can't say I have, but keep my options open.
I mean, all right, well, you know, Chris is kind of dissatisfied with his work anyhow, so you can't go by that. Just kidding. I know you're not. I know you're good at it, and I don't believe that about Minnesota either. That seems a little strange to me. Chris, you know this...
Yeah.
Chris, you know how this works, this quiz?
I do.
Okay, so two of you, Devin and Chris, you are a team right now, a brain trust, and we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
Yeah, current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Chris, pick the first one. What would you like?
How about school?
Fur and hair, essentially the same thing, true or false? Fur and hair.
Well, I would lean towards true, but what do you think? You're in school now.
It could have changed, right?
Yeah, it could
man.
Be.
Could have changed over the years.
Maybe it did change.
What?
Maybe it did change.
I don't know.
Let's not overthink it.
I'm going to say it's the same.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, same thing. Keratin. Basically the same composition. Fur and hair, doesn't matter. Some people have fur, some people have hair. Doesn't matter.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left?
Current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Devin?
Let's go current events.
Current events, right out of the news, maybe not. A gay lobby was discovered where?
I think it was in the Vatican.
Okay. She thinks it was the Vatican, Chris?
I agree fully with my partner.
Yes, Pope Francis said there was a gay lobby in the Vatican. And very tastefully decorated with all that stuff they got.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay. What's left?
People, places, science, or odds and ends.
All right. Back to Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris? What do you think?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. All righty. Percentage of Legos minifigures that are smiley faces. Okay, there's multiple choice. 90%, 80%, or 50%? These are the current.
That have smiley faces?
Yeah, as opposed to some other expression.
Well, my son's got over 1,000, I think, sitting in his bedroom, and there are some frownies in there, but I think they're more smiley, so maybe 80?
Yeah, I'd say 80.
Why not? This is the latest figures, you know. And I'll tell you, they have changed over the years. I guess it's kind of interesting to figure out why that is and if kids are being affected by any changes in
Fresh
their minifigures, you know, long term.
Well, maybe it's 50 then.
Oh, you think so?
I don't know. That could be the hint.
I'm not saying it is and not saying it isn't.
hey, 50 sounds fine for me.
Okay.
If not, that's all right.
50 is right. 50% are showing anger, fear, or dismay. The minifigures, that's very disturbing, if you ask me. Well, they have won.
They have, in fact, won.
And they could, in fact...
go home now with a fistful of prizes.
Fistful?
Mm-hmm.
Not much you can get in a fist.
No. There really isn't.
I guess that's your point then.
Yeah, that is my point. And if
what do you suggest they do?
Well, they could gamble it all and go home with an armload.
Fist versus armload.
Yes, I got it. Yeah, for the motherload.
Oh, like armloads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Armload for the motherload. Mm-hmm. So, do you guys want to go on trying?
I'd be down for that. Are you?
Let's do it.
She's down for that. Okay. Chris, you down for that? Okay.
Yep.
You got to get this next one right. And it's all or nothing on this one.
That's right. And the categories remaining are people, places, or science.
Okay. Devin?
Let's do people, maybe?
Let's do people.
Let's do that.
There we are, people. Where is it? Okay. According to females, superhero movie on the first date, does that save the day or is it a deal breaker?
Well, we got a 50-50 chance. Probably not. That's what I would just say. I don't know.
It's been a long time since I've been on a first date.
Yeah. Have you been on the last date?
No, so far I still have more to come.
Oh, okay, good. a superhero movie on the first date. This is a survey done by who? I don't
know. Can I ask my sister?
Is she dating?
Yes, actually.
Superhero movie on the first date?
No. No.
Is she typical, though, your sister? She does.
No. Well, hey, you know, that's a 100% retention rate within the family, so. Yeah.
This surprising finding on first dates. Superhero movies on first date. Saves the day? Is that something that women think would be great on a first date? Or that? Now, you're saying yes, I noticed. You would like a superhero movie on a first date? Why is that? Your dad brought you up with comics, and so that would be a reassuring thing to go out with someone who would take you to something your dad might take you to. Okay, there's the other side of the coin, and we got that there.
Should we change our mind, Chris?
I could go with yes on this.
Sure, let's go with yes.
Yes saves the day. 77% in this survey said that was the ideal first date. Superhero movie. Who knew? They won it all there.
They have. Devin, your landscaping will be immeasurably enhanced with the pièce de résistance of What Do You Know prizes, a pair of fantastically hot pink plastic flamingos from Pink Ink, and then gussy up your domicile with a snazzy, colorful print from MarciaSparks.com. Keep your keys together on a Kissel keychain from the Wisconsin Automotive Museum in Hartford. Walk with the dinosaurs during a flash flood with a family pass to the Mesa Southwest Museum. Plane tickets, unfortunately, not included. And dream of Paris on a romantic summer's evening, listening to the CD What Do You Know About Chopin with liner notes translated from neither Polish nor French by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Chris, from zipping points to coming of age in Iowa, you'll find it in What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Then look ahead to What Do You Know's trip to Bayfield, Wisconsin on August 3rd with a t-shirt from Tom's Burntown Cafe, celebrating 21 seasons of dining excellence in La Pointe, Wisconsin. Find enlightenment before heading into the North Woods with Helen Meyer and Mona Void's farm recipes and food service from the Norsky Nook from the University of Wisconsin Press. And after the dishes are done, entertain with What Do You Know the Party Game, including savvy contestants, boisterous audience, and the lumberjack-friendly Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Boy, your dad is going to get those flamingos, isn't he?
I'll see you at the show at March.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on for a second, Chris. We'll get that stuff to you. Thanks for playing.
Tickets for our Madison shows here at Monona Terrace are available. Playwright and humorist Paul Rudnick will be our guest next week. For tickets, go to notmuch.com or call 608-262-2201. If you're looking to keep the laughs going, click over to notmuch.com. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com.
Those flamingos are for Father's Day, I can tell. I see those on Drake Street. He's got them already.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Colbert.
Thank you all for coming. Thanks for listening.
PRI, Public Radio International.